آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون.
عليكم السلام.
يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, Allah in the Quran warned about a severe day, the judgment day. In fact, you can't see a surah in the Quran that was revealed in Mecca without a description or a warning of that day, the judgment day. يوم القيامة. It's so severe and important that Allah in the Quran gives it several names. And the only thing that's given several names is something that's very, very important that deserves your attention. If it's beautiful, it has beautiful names. If it's tormenting, it has severe names. Al-Haqqah. Al-Qari'ah. Iza Zulzilat. Zulzilat. Harsh names. Hurt your ear when you say them. To bring your attention to that day. That's not our topic today. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Jibreel, when is that day? Prophet replied to Jibreel, the one you're asking, myself, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, doesn't know any more than the one who's asking. Meaning, Jibreel, me and you are in the boat together. We both don't know. However, there's signs for it. What are those signs? He said some of the minor signs. أَن تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. When a woman gives birth to her master. And what's meant by this hadith, according to the great vast majority of the scholars, is when a woman gives birth to a daughter, and that daughter becomes one who gives her order. Just like you see today. Women who are disobedient to their mother and parents. This is what is meant, according to the vast majority, by this hadith. The second part of it, وَأَن تَرَى الْحُفَاةَ الْعُرَاةَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاةَ الشَّاهِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. And this applies to us. You see those people who were poor. They didn't have any shoes. They didn't have enough clothing on them. At a time, short period of time, become people who compete with each other who's going to get a bigger building. This applies to us. I mean, if you go back just a decade ago, our parents, what were they? When they came here, in our country, they had nothing. But a lot of the people who live in shelters overseas have now are competing with each other who's getting a bigger building. The same over here. One buys a house in Canton for $300,000, another wants to buy $350,000. Or in Dearborn for $70,000, one wants to buy for $200,000. This is the application of this hadith right now. Is it haram? Well, of course, if you don't go beyond your boundaries, it's haram. However, the point of it, and the point of what I'm about to talk about, is the signs of the judgment day. How many signs are there? If you take the authentic hadith only, there's 50 signs. Give or take a few, these are the minor signs, authentically. If you take the non-authentic together, you can pull out about 100. These are the minor signs. The minor signs take a long time before the judgment day comes. However, the major signs are like the Prophet ﷺ described, 10 signs. These are like a beef, like the masbaha. If you cut the masbaha, they fall right after each other. That's it. And the unique thing, and the difference about it, the main difference is those 10 signs. As soon as they start happening, one or any one of them, no repentance. That's why Allah's warning you about it. Because there's no repentance. You see one of those signs, that's it. You say, I want to become a good Muslim. Too late. I want to embrace Islam. Too late. That's why Allah's warning and warning and warning. Repent now. And so, يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ أَوْ كَتَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. The day when some of those miracles of Allah come down, no one who wants to repent will be able to repent. Bear with me and take these signs that happened in our time. There's 50. I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about very few of them that happened in the past decade. Amongst them, is the Prophet. All of them are in Sahih al-Bukhari or Muslim. They are not only authentic, but as authentic as they come. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the judgment day will not come until the lands of the Arabs become green and have a lot of water in them. You know, the Arabic land, the Middle East, is usually desert. However, if you look recently, in the past decade, they've been finding water in the desert. If you travel in the areas between Medina and Riyadh, you're going to find in the middle of the desert farms. Wallahi, you're going to see how these trees grow in the desert. It's amazing. You know why? A prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Water has become a lot, and they have now a lot of farms. Travel between Tabuk and Jordan. Tabuk is on the border of Saudi, and Jordan is the border country. Travel there, you're going to be stunned to see the farms that are in the desert. You can't even go outside and sit a few minutes. It's the hot temperatures there. The land is so bad. But they have farms over there because they found water, and they found in the farms are something that comes with water. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. This is a miracle that Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told us 14 centuries ago. How on earth would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know that 14 centuries ago, a land, I was in Saudi 15 years ago, wallahi al-azim, it would be nice to see a nice white tree. If you see a white tree, it'd be a scene. Just one tree. Now, they got so much green land, they're exporting to neighboring countries. And other countries just like that. A prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take the next one. These are iman boosters. How on earth would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know things like this and put them for us? And we have them in our book 14 centuries ago, and now they become a reality for us to see. Because Allah said about him, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't talk in vain. He doesn't just utter words. It's a revelation from Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the judgment day will not come about until the Furat has a mountain of gold under it. The judgment of day, this is in Sahih Muslim, will not come about until the Furat has a mountain of gold under it. Not only that, people are going to go and fight over it. And everyone who fights over it, 99 out of 100 will die next to it. 99 out of 100 who fight for it will die next to it. And every one of those who go to fight for it think he's the one who's going to own it. This hadith I was reading in an article 2 years ago, wallahi, they said they found under Furat, it's a river but in Syria, in Damascus, in Syria. They said they found a gold under it. And it's amazing how an Arabic newspaper put such news and just like what it passed by. They found gold under it. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us this 14 centuries ago. Not only that, they found gold, and there's a group of scientists from the United States and Russia. Look it up. Look it up on the internet, you'll find it. A group of scientists from the United States and Russia going to investigate the gold they found under the Furat. What equipment did your Prophet have? What equipment did he have to go in the oceans and look under the oceans and say there's going to be gold here in the future? 14 centuries from now, they just discovered it 2 years ago. Scientists from the United States and Russia go there. The first part of the hadith has become true. The second part is still awaiting. The same way the first part became true, the same way the second part is going to and destined surely to become true, where 99 out of 100 who go and fight for that, everyone wants that wealth. Could be a war, could be groups, could be tribes fighting over, 99 out of 100 will die. Listen to the third one. You got two so far. Wallahi, they're amazing. If we didn't have an Islam but these hadith to make you believe and be committed to this religion 100%, and no, it's the only authentic religion, it's enough for us. How could the Prophet know all this stuff? The third one is the situation that's occurring right now. Your brothers in Iraq. The massacres, the threat on your brothers in Iraq, the embargo on them, may Allah be with them. 6,000 of your children over there every month. 6,000 of your children over there every month die because of the terrorist hands. 6,000. May Allah be with them. Not only do they let them die an easy death, they also have threats coming down upon them. We're going to bomb you. Let them die an easy death. The Iraq is going down. They're dying. No nutrition, no food. A simple needle that keeps your son alive when he's a young boy is what causes the masses of kids in Iraq to die and no heart. The kuffar have no heart over your brothers. The Prophet prophesied it. He said in a hadith narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah in Sahih Muslim. Look how we have this stuff. The Prophet ﷺ, Jabir says the story, but when Jabir says the story, it has the same hukum as though the Prophet ﷺ said it. Jabir ibn Abdullah said, there shall become a day when Iraq will have an embargo on it, no qafiz or no dirham will enter upon it. What does this mean? Yushik. Yushik an ya'tiya yawmun ala al-Iraq. لا يجبى إليه دينار ولا قفيز. What's this hadith mean? Look how precisely worded it is. It's so precisely worded, so no one will come and say, you know what? You guys are lying. You got a mistake in the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, it's about to happen. One day, the Iraq will have an embargo on it where nothing will be able to enter. However, when he said nothing will be able to enter, he said قفيز. You know what قفيز is? What you carry the food in it. Why did he say qafiz and he said there will be no food? It's important to know this. First of all, he said it in a way that overall there's going to be an embargo. Okay, however, that embargo is going to be broken because Iraq now has relationship with Syria, secret, and with Jordan, and with Iran. They have secret relationships. So that embargo, the way the Prophet worded it, yushiku, meaning it's not a complete embargo. They're going to be able to get something from other countries. Okay, the Prophet ﷺ said, qafiz, meaning qafiz, there's not enough food for you to carry the food. There's going to be food. They're not going to die totally out of food. But it's not going to be so great that you can carry the food. It's going to be a little bit of food just to keep them alive. Or less than that, but something that they can't carry. And look what's more stunning in the hadith. The people around Jabir said, who's the one who's going to do this? Jabir ibn Abdullah said, Al-Ajam. You know what Al-Ajam means? The non-Arab. This hadith is in Muslim. Look how uniquely, this is half the hadith, the other half, wait up. He said, Al-Ajam. Go back, do some research, and look it up. Who's the one who did the embargo on Iraq? Al-Ajam is an Arabic term to say about any non-Arab. Any non-Arab. If you look at the masses of the world today, all the Arabic people are 100% against the embargo. Because the Prophet said the Ajam are 100% against. You may find exceptions, the leaders, exceptions. However, we don't make rules based on exceptions. The masses of the Arabic world are 100. Go to Egypt. Wallahi, I've seen sceneries in Egypt where they bring some people not even religious. They don't even know what Islam is. There's no hijab. There's nothing. And they ask them, what do you think about the embargo? This is an oppressive embargo. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Ajam, look who signed the embargo on Iraq. It happened about 9 years ago. The 5 permanent council members on the United Nations, as you know, United States, Russia, France, Great Britain, China. 5 permanent members in the United Nations. And as you know, if you know how the United Nations works, there's one that rotates. That one who rotated at the time they did the embargo on Iraq was Yemen. Yemen. 5 non-Arabic countries signed the embargo on Iraq. One, Yemen, refused to do it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's the Ajam who are the ones who are going to cause that embargo. In huwa illa wahyun yuha. Here's a revelation from Allah. Look at the second part of the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and there's also going to be an embargo on Syria. And they're not going to have, the way it's worded, they're not going to have a dinar wala muti. لا دينار ولا مدي. Different from how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Iraq. Why did he say differently? Because the embargo on Syria, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is a lesser one than that's going to be on Iraq. Not only that, they asked, who's the one who's going to cause the embargo on Syria? You know what he said? A Rome. What does a room mean? There's no room today. What's meant by room, according to all scholars, is Europe and the United States. Unanimously, today the scholars consider the room of prophecies of the Prophet about room is the United States and Europe. Who's the one today who's after an embargo on Syria? Who? Who? All of the United States, the other country wants an embargo on Syria. It's a neutral country. They claim they have terrorist index. So it's the United States and Europe who are after embargo on Syria. Prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the third part of the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jabir said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, silent. And then he said, and this is the good news. See, that both things happened, or nearly happened. Now, the last part of the hadith is yet to happen, yet it's the good news. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat silent and then he said, and at that time, there's gonna come a khalifa who'll be so just that he doesn't count wealth. He doesn't count it. He's gonna be so rich, so much justice, that he carries it by the loads. The wealth, the gold, the jewelry is by the load, not counting it. When you're poor, you count it single by single. But when you're rich, he says you carry it by the load. And that's what's awaited. And as you've seen, three parts of the hadith. One concerns Iraq, one concerns Syria, and one concerns something that is going to happen, inshallah, about a khalifa. The first two nearly happened. The last one is what's awaited, the great news of a just khalifa to come. Doesn't stop there. I give you one last example. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the judgment day will not come out. Malik ibn Auf narrated the hadith in Sahih Muslim. The judgment day will not come until you see signs. What are these signs? The first one, the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second one, the liberation of the Aqsa. This happened. This happened during the Khalifa Umar ibn Khattab's time. 13 years after the Hijrah, Umar ibn Khattab liberated Palestine. The third one is something the Prophet called Mushan. What's Mushan? It's a plague, a disease that hits towns and kills towns in its entirety. It's happened. That's how Abu Ubaidah died. Fa'un, Abu Ubaidah and all his children died in this. In fact, a lot of the Sahaba and Tabi'in died in this. This happened already. The next one, the fourth one, is a wealth. Wealth, I don't want to go into details in this. Everyone could be a khutbah, but I'm trying to hit to the last one. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wealth that will never satisfy people. To the point, you give someone 100 dinar, and he said, what is this? You give someone 100 dinar, and he wants more and more. Wealth that never satisfies people. The fifth one is something evil, that will enter every single person's house. What is that evil that enters every single person's house? What is it? TV, internet. If you don't properly use the internet, it's an evil. TV, worse than that. Satellite, if you don't properly use them, and you're not restrict yourself and your kids, then that's the evil that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's in every single person's house. Prophecies by Allah. Nothing like this ever happened before. That entered as evil as this, that entered every single person's house. And the sixth one, and this is the one I brought this long hadith to tell you about. There's gonna be a treaty, because the purpose of this, I only brought the ones that are happening in the last decade. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there's gonna be a treaty between you and the sons of the yellow people. The Bani al-Asfar in Arabic, you could probably say the sons of the blonde. And in Arabic, it's the Romans. And where did I tell you who the Romans are? United States and Europe. There's gonna be a treaty, look at this, between you and these, Bani al-Asfar, United States, Europe. Peace, you're gonna have peace with them. To the point, you and them go out to fight a third enemy. Prophecy. If portions of this didn't happen, what I'm telling you, you're gonna see if Allah gives you a long life, inshallah, you're gonna see it happen, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you fight a third enemy, a third common enemy. And he said it's gonna be by Damascus and Palestine, between the area of Damascus. He specified the area, even he specified and described the area as a huge green land near the area of Syria, Damascus. And when you're done, you the Muslims, and you're just like what we're doing. I mean, look at all the countries today. They're all under peace treaties. All the Arabic and Muslim countries are under peace treaties with the United States. It's not begging them. So the Prophet said, you're going to fight together a third enemy. Who is the third enemy? Allahu A'lam. We don't know who it is. Could be China, Russia, Persia. Doesn't matter. Allahu A'lam, we don't know who it is. When you're victorious over that third common enemy, someone in that great big valley, that green valley, after the rest and after the battlefield, raises the cross and says, by this cross we won. So one of the Muslims gets up, and there's two narrations of the hadith. One says, he pushes him. He gets so jealous. How could you say it's the cross we won? It's Allah that made us win. So he goes up and pushes him. That's one hadith. In another hadith, he gets up and kills him. And then, I'll tell you what happens in the next khutbah. أَقُولُ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين أما بعد. Prophecies that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied and became true in our time that concern our political situation that we're going through today. So there, over there, the Romans, United States and Great Britain, and the Muslims together. And this is going to be a severe battle. It's not a small battle. It's going to be a severe battle that destroys technology. Because every single battle after this one, and I think writers call this Hormuzdun or something similar to that word. Writers call it that even in non-Muslim books. This is going to be the battle to kill technology. Because every battle after this battle that the Prophet prophesies about, they use the sword. There's no mention about technology. It's not worded vaguely to the point where you could assume it's technology or, you know, the sword and the arrow. It's only sword after this battle. Someone will say, how? How are you talking like this? We live our lives on the computer. You know? Allah within a matter of moments could destroy all that. Not with something huge, with something small. You know something small happens, corporations in their entirety go down because the computers went down. Allah is able to do that and worse than that. Look what he did with Aad. What did he do with Aad? فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُ بِرِيحٍ. When you stick with Islam, when you're true Muslim, don't look at how much power anyone has. Stay steadfast with Allah and go on your way. فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُ بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. Ad, we destroyed them with wind. They were giants. Allah destroyed them with a little wind. And the verses go on to say, سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ حُسُومًا. 8 days, 7 nights, حُسُومًا, after each other. And then Allah says, فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةٍ. You see any remains of them? These giants who control the earth. Allah says, فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةٍ. You see any remains of them? No matter how giant you are, no matter how much technology you have, how much power you have, stay steadfast with Allah. Wallahi, it's not going to remain in your face. That's why I tell you, technology, something small could happen. All these computers are gone. You remember in the 2000s, that chip that they needed to change, nearly everyone was destroyed and depressed. Oh, the 2000s coming up, the computers are not going to work, the credit cards, pull your money out of the bank. And it's a small, stupid little thing. When Allah wants to get involved and give victory to His messengers, it's going to be like, small little thing, destroy everything. So they're there. And they kill or push the man who's carrying a cross. And they depart. The Christians depart and the Muslims depart. And at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 9 months come. The Prophet said, 9 months come, the time period of a woman when she gets pregnant. 9 months. He said both. 9 months and the time frame a woman gets pregnant. What happens in these 9 months? The Romans in the Europe, the Kuffar, and they're going to be Christian. This is not a Jewish battle. Absolutely 100% Christian. Bani al-Aswar got to be Christian. So they go and prepare a retaliation against the Muslim in 9 months. The Muslims go, do nothing. There's a Khalifa at that time in the Arabian Peninsula. There's a Khalifa in the Arabian Peninsula. And really, it doesn't have to be what you think is a Khalifa. I mean, the Khalifa we think, it could be that people supposedly claim. I mean, no one with his right mind thinks King Fahd would be a Khalifa. He's lower than being a bum, as we all know. But some people, some ignorant heads, think he's a Khalifa. So he's supposedly a khalifa to some people. This could be the application of the hadith, that they think he's the khalifa. Some people think that person is the khalifa. So that's enough to satisfy the hadith. That khalifa dies and there's a battle over who's going to take leadership afterwards. That khalifa is going to die, there's going to be a battle, who takes leadership afterwards. The Romans are busy preparing an attack. The Muslims, khalifa dies. They need a leader to lead them, and they're fighting. And you know what happens at that time? That's when a man named Muhammad ibn Abdullah comes out. This is the Mahdi. This is the Mahdi who's not born yet. The Mahdi we believe in is not born yet. He's going to be born at the end of time. When he's a young man, he's going to come out from Medina to Mecca. In the city, it's all in this 9 months. You got the Romans, the Kuffar, the United States or Europe preparing to attack the Muslims to revenge the cross. You got the Muslims feuding over who the Khalifa is. And you got this man over there who's heading from Medina to Mecca to take commitment. The Prophet ﷺ said exactly where he's going to take the commitment. Bayna al-Rukn wal-Maqam. Area next to the Kaaba. Maqam Ibrahim and the corner next to Maqam Ibrahim. He's going to be there in the middle. All the Muslims are going to give him the commitment. What's his name? The Prophet said his name is like my name. His father's name is like my father's name. His mother is there. His great-great-grandmother is Fatima. Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They give him commitment. How do you know this is the right man? When Allah told us about Isa, he told us he's going to come down at the end of time with his hands and two wings of angels. And he's going to come down. No one, as soon as they see him with his hands and two angels and two angels' wings, is going to ever dispute that to Isa alayhi salam. The Dajjal, kafir. Between his eyes, kafir. Everyone's going to read it. Even the illiterate Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam said kaf, alif, ba, ra, kafir. How do you know this is the Mahdi? You don't know it for sure until people start giving him commitment. And there are very few who give him commitment. Very few give him commitment. An army comes from behind Medina to attack him. When the army passes Medina and gets to it, this is all in hadith. This is not a fiction story. This is all in authentic hadith. When the Prophet said, when they reach the Jahfa, a town, known, it's known, I've been to it. When he reaches the Jahfa, then Allah is going to open the earth in the middle portion of the army and sink the army in. They're coming to kill the Mahdi. And the front of the army is going to shout back. Oh, this is a hadith. The front of the army is going to ask the back of the army, are you okay? By the time the answer comes back, the earthquake opens and swallows them all in. This is the only 100% sign that man over there in Mecca is the Mahdi. What does the Mahdi do? He goes, there's an attack on the Muslims. The first attack that comes to him is by air from Bani Kalb. The tribe of that person who's attacking him is Bani Kalb. He demolishes them. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, everyone who doesn't fight with the Mahdi at that time regrets he didn't fight. Because there's so much wealth, so much pleasure in the victory that happens, everyone regrets it. The second one, he has a battle in Iran, Persia, and he defeats them. The third one is the one I want to talk about. Those people planning for 9 months come to him. And this is when the Muslims hold steadfast. Three portions of the army. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when they see their enemy, you know how much their enemy is? The Prophet told us exactly how much they are. 80 portions of the army. 80 divisions of the army. With every division of the army is 12,000 soldiers. 80 by 12,000. Nearly over. An army of over. This didn't happen yet. This is happening. It's going to happen probably soon, probably in your lifetime. When the Muslims fight them, one third run away. The cowards, the hypocrites, the ones who don't have iman and faith. One third run away. One third die, martyrs. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these are the best martyrs ever. Best martyrs ever. And one third lead on the victory. Then he goes on to other, the next one is Constantinople. They go and conquer Constantinople. And they conquered Constantinople not by bloodshed, but by La ilaha illallah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. They advanced. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. They advanced, Subhanallah. And that's how they conquered Constantinople. The enemy ran away. Probably these people who live in Turkey today, the enemies of Islam there today, the leadership over there today. And when they flee, and the Muslims start taking what they left behind them, the news comes, the Dajjal has come around. The Masih has come around as well. And it's a lie. The one about the Masih is not right. However, as soon as they turn back and go to Palestine, the Masih is really there. The first one was a rumor, it was a lie. However, when they get to Palestine, to Bayt al-Maqdis, to go and greet the Masih, Isa alayhi salam, they find that he's really there. The first one was a rumor, but when they got there, it was a reality. That's a whole new different topic. Maybe we'll touch on it from Iran in the future. ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَى خَاتَمِ النَّبِيِّينَ وَإِمَامِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ فَقَدْ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالسَّلَامِ عَلَيْهِ فَقَالَ إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بعشرة اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء الأئمة الحنفاء أبي بكر الصديق وعمر الفاروق وذي النورين عثمان وأبي السبطين علي وعن آل بيت نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وعن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن الصحابة والتابعين وعنا معهم بمنك وعفوك وإحسانك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين ودمر أعداء الدين وأهلك الزنادقة والملحدين اللهم ارفع علم الجهاد وانصر المجاهدين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين اللهم طهر فلسطين من الرجس الحاقدين اللهم عليك بمن آذى إخواننا في العراق اللهم فرج عنهم اللهم فرج عنهم اللهم من أرادهم بسوء فاحصهم عددا واقتلهم بددا ولا تبق منهم أحدا إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة